Thank you, my brother, and thank you for coming and joining with us tonight in this gospel service. We want to turn in our Bibles to the book of John's Gospel in the chapter number 5 of the chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And we'll commence to read at the opening verse of this passage of God's infallible word. That's John's Gospel in the chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For the Egypt went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, where the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that that was said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We'll end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of once again gathering in thy presence in this thy house. We thank thee that thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that there am I in the midst of them, and that to bless. And O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt take this word, and that thou wilt write it upon the hearts of each one that's gathered here. We thank thee, we praise thee for the assurance of thy word. And we bless thee that he that hath a son hath life. And O God, I pray tonight that precious souls in this gathering, oh, that they might be sure and certain that they have life eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer a prayer. Cover me in the precious blood and fill me with thy Holy Spirit as I preach the word. For I pray in Jesus' precious and his lovely name. Amen and amen. Now in this passage of God's word in chapter 5, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Jerusalem, and the Bible says there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now we find that the Lord Jesus went to a certain place in Jerusalem. It says in verse number 2, it says, at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now I want us to think about it, because it's an interesting place where the Lord Jesus has come to. It's a place called Bethesda. The word Bethesda means the house of pity, or the house of mercy. And whenever you look at the folks that are lying here at this place, Bethesda, indeed, it was a pathetic and a pitiful sight. The verse number 3 says, there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now, the Word of God tells us here, it was at not only at a pool, but it was a pool that was beside the sheep market. And the word really there, the sheep market, it is the sheep gate. And those that have been in Jerusalem know that that was a particular place, because through that sheep gate came the sheep that were destined for the sacrifice that we may be made and to atone for the people's sins. And so therefore, it was the sheep gate, or the place where the sheep were, would be brought through on their way to sacrifice. We find it says there were five porches. And those who know the scriptures will know that five in scripture is the number of grace. And so therefore, it was going to be a manifestation of the grace of God to those who were there needing mercy. And praise God, they were there at that house of pity. And it was, of course, coming through Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Now you'll notice that the Bible says in verse number 3, there was a great multitude of impotent folk. And that word means helpless. They were without strength. They had no strength within themselves. And they were there at this particular pool and lying there amidst the porches. It says they were halt. And that word means lame, or they were crippled. They were not able to walk. And then it says they were withered. And that would speak to us of hands that were paralyzed, because not only were they not able to walk, they weren't able to work for themselves. In other words, they were a helpless group of humanity that were lying there at that particular pool. And the Bible says they were waiting for the moving of the waters. They were waiting for a miracle. They were waiting for a miracle. And my friends, I want to tell you, God is still the God of miracles. And the greatest miracle that ever happened is the salvation of a lost, guilty, vile sinner on the way to hell. Thank God, in a moment of time, saved by God's sovereign grace, experiencing the mercy and pity of God. Thank God, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women can be put on the road to heaven and be sure of heaven and of home. Now the Bible tells us, whilst was this multitude, when you come to verse number 5, the Savior draws your attention not to the multitude, but to a man. And it says in verse number 5, and a certain man was there. Now there were many, there was a multitude there, and therefore it says, Jesus said, he had come because there was a certain man was there. You see, God doesn't save us in multitudes. And whilst, thank God, on the day of Pentecost, multitudes were saved. But salvation is a personal thing. Salvation is an individual thing. Let me tell you, your mother's salvation will never save the soul of the child. The father's salvation will not save the soul of a son. The child's salvation does not assure the parent of heaven. Let me tell you, it is a personal experience and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And you're not saved tonight. I want to tell you, your family can be saved and on their way to heaven. But if you're not saved, you are on your way to hell. And the Bible says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And then it says in verse 6, when Jesus saw him. Notice that. Not Jesus saw them. It says Jesus saw him. Now I want to tell you tonight, you're an individual person. And I believe that God can speak to the individual heart in this meeting. And I pray that God will search out the individual soul. It says, God saw him. He saw everything about him. And not only did God, the Lord Jesus, see him, but notice what he said here. And Jesus knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Not only did the Savior see him, but Jesus knew him. And friend, I tell you tonight, the Lord knows you and me through and through. Thou God seest me, and thou knowest me altogether. And so the Savior not only saw him, but the Savior knew him. And the Bible tells us that the Savior knows what's in the heart. He knows exactly what's in your heart tonight. And then it says this, that the Lord Jesus said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And thank God, not only did the Savior see him, not only did the Savior know about him, but thank God the Savior spake to him. He spake a word to him. And he asked him a question. And you said, what a question to ask a man. Wilt thou be made whole? Here's a man who's lying there, and the Bible tells us this man has been lying for 38 years and has been waiting for the stirring of the water. He's been trying his best to get into the water, but he hasn't made it. And Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? Let me tell you this. Not everybody comes to a gospel meeting comes to receive. There are people who maybe come because they were invited. But as far as spiritual things are concerned, they are not concerned. They have no thought about God and the salvation of their precious soul. And so the Lord Jesus asked him a very personal question. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do their men and women know their need of God's salvation? They know except they're born again, they'll never see or never enter into the kingdom of God. But friend, they're not seeing. They're not seeing. You say, well, what's keeping them? When they not received? Maybe they say sometime. Some other time. But not now. Here's a man, and he's lying there, and Jesus speaks personally, asking him a question. He said, wilt thou be made whole? You know, the man said to him, he said, sir, verse number 7, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He says, there's nobody to help me. There's nobody reaching out the hand to help me. And he said, when I'm coming, can you see him there? Here's a man lying on the bed. He is paralyzed. He can't make it himself, but he shuffles his way to get into the water. And maybe he's very close to it. Maybe he's almost there. And then somebody steps in before him. And he says, it's a wasted effort. Maybe there's someone here tonight. Maybe there have been times in your life that you've been almost there. God has spoken to your heart. God has challenged your soul. And you're like the man in the scriptures. Almost thou persuadest me. And maybe, friends, maybe you were on the verge of coming, and then something stopped you. Something stopped you. Remember preaching one night in the mission in Dungannon. And the scriptures were reading about blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus was sitting there, and he heard that Jesus was coming, and he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." The woman said to me after the meeting, "Jesus, thou Son of David, but is he not the Son of God?" And she couldn't understand this, friend. And you listen, she was, that woman was almost there in coming to Christ, but she got caught up. She got caught up. The devil got her caught up. Was he the Son of David? Was he the Son of God? Friend, he was both. David's sweeter son, but he was the Son of God and God the Son. Maybe something has blocked you. Something simple has stopped you from taking that final step of faith. And here's a man, and he has tried himself. He says, "When I'm coming." Maybe there's someone here also tonight. And maybe, friend, you've tried the best. You've tried to understand the gospel. You've tried to come to Christ. Say, "But I'm not saved." I'm not asking you tonight to try Jesus. I'm asking you to trust Jesus. Trust him. Take him at his word. The Lord Jesus said to this man, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And when the word from Christ, the Bible says in verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. Praise God. Let me tell you, some people think you have to work into salvation. It's a process over a period of time. And that's of the devil. You're saved in a moment of time. "Whosoever shall call, cry out upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved." The moment you call, thank God he sees you. See, men and women are trying to save themselves. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't come to make you savable. Jesus didn't come into this world to help you to save yourself. Jesus came to save you. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And here's a man, and he's tried all the effort. Yes, he's tried to make it himself, but he's failed. And then in a moment of time, immediately, the man was called. And then there was the evidence. Because the Bible says that he took up his bed and he walked. Praise God, there's the evidence. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, he's a new creature. There's going to be the evidence of the grace of God. I remember when a person saved and they're a new babe in Christ, they don't understand all of the theology. And some of the older Christians sometimes need to get a bit of wisdom, a bit of sense. Because a young Christian doesn't understand it all just whenever they're saved. I'm going to tell you, they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But friend, you're saved in the moment. And then, day by day, you walk with God. And there's the sanctification. And you die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. And here's a man, and praise God, you see him, he's whole. He took up his bed and he walked. Why? That's what Jesus told him to do. He took the Savior at his word. And that's what God's asking you tonight. Take me at my word. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, realizing that they're lost, realizing they're helpless, realizing they're hopeless, realizing they're going to hell, realizing their sin will have them in the lost eternity in the darkest hell itself. And they cry out to the Lord. Thank God, the moment you cry, he saves. And that's what he says he will. That's what he says he'll do. Thank God, the Bible says, he's the one, the God, who cannot lie. He can't lie. And so the man, he's now walking. But man, of course, there are those to come to try and stop his joy. You can imagine, this man's walking with his bed, the bed on the top of his head, and he's so happy, and he's rejoicing, and then these old religious hypocrites come along and say to him, it's not lawful for you. It's not lawful for you to carry that bed on your head. And they're referring, of course, to Jeremiah 17, verse 20, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day. And so therefore, they tried to stop him. Well, he said, you know, the man that led me home, he told me, take up thy bed and walk. And they said, well, who is this man? But he didn't know who it was. He didn't know it was Jesus. You see, he had got a certain knowledge, but he had got to learn more. And so he found that he couldn't answer who it was, but he knew what the man had told him to do. Jesus had conveyed himself away, certainly to the multitude, for he knew. He knew exactly what these Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites would do. But the Savior met the man. The Savior met the man in the temple. He didn't leave him without the knowledge. In verse number 14, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Let me tell you, friend. Some people are very silly when they think about sickness. Because there's those who preach that if a person's sick, it's because of some sin in their lives. Do you remember the man who was born blind? Do you remember the king who said to Jesus, whose sin? Was it him? Was it his parents? Jesus says there's nothing to do with that. But that the glory of God would be revealed in the healing of him. But here's a man, and his sickness those 38 years was because of sin in his life. You say, how do I know? Look what it says there in verse 14. Jesus said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse sin come on today. And friends, you know, there are those that because of sin in their lives, sickness can't come. And it scars your body. Sin scars the mind. Sin scars the heart of man and woman only for the grace of God. It couldn't be healed. But praise God, he's the healer of broken hearts. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he can change the heart completely. The man was so excited that it was Jesus. In verse 15 says, the man departed and told the Jews. He asked me who it was and I didn't know. I know now it's Jesus. What the Bible tells us. Because of that, they sought to persecute and even to slay the Savior. They wanted to kill Christ because he had healed the man on the Sabbath day. Now you can go into the rest of the chapter, and we haven't time to go into that part of it. But the Lord Jesus didn't back off, you know, whenever they challenged him who he was. But the Lord Jesus Christ took them on with a holy boldness. And he declared himself to be God in his nature, in his works, in his power, in worship. My, he said, the Father hath given judgment unto the Son. And they were so angry. And then Jesus said this, and this is what I want to come to verse 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Notice the speaker here. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. Who's the speaker? Is he who is the Word of God. The one who called this world into being. Might you remember in the Bible that tells us the Pharisees and the priests had sent the officers to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him? They came back with no Jesus. He said, where is it? He said, never a man spake like this man. Oh, there's no one ever spoke like Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, it tells us a story about the Lord Jesus in Capernaum. The centurion's servant was sick, grievously tormented. And he came and fell at the feet of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was going with them. And the centurion said, no, no, don't, you don't need to come under my roof. But just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. And Jesus told him, go your way. And his servant was healed. The word of power. The word of authority is the word of Jesus. I say unto you. Do you remember the leper who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel? And when he saw the Lord Jesus coming, he cried out. And he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou canst make me whole. Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And friend, at the authority of the word of Christ, the leper was cleansed. He spoke the word. The Bible tells us that he said, let there be light. And there was light. By the word of his power. By him were all things made and are made. Do you remember the old demon of Gadara? And he was running along the tombs. And he was cutting himself by trying to end life because he couldn't face life anymore. He left his home and his family. And he lay amongst the dead, energized with the power of air and the demons that possessed him. Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee to Gadara. He came at the right time. He came to the right place. He came for the right person. And the old demon of Gadara ran to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus commanded the demons to come out. And in a moment, they had to go at the word of his power. The Lord Jesus was walking through the city of Jericho one day. And as he was going out to the other side of the city of Jericho,
on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, there was a wee man, his name was Zacchaeus. He was a rich man. He had robbed it of the people, for he was one of the chief of the publicans, tax collectors. He took more than was due. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, as was going out, the wee man couldn't see the Lord Jesus. There were so many around him. And he ran before the Savior. He climbed up into the tree and he hid himself amongst the branches. And the Lord Jesus walked past. And as he was walking past, Jesus stopped. And he looked up. He says, Zacchaeus. You see, he knew him. He knew exactly who he was. He called him by name. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And friend, tonight, maybe you're in the tree of pride. Too proud to humble yourself. Call the Lord to save you. Let me tell you, your pride will take you to hell.
Maybe you're in the tree of religion. And by your religiosity, you hope that somehow that you merit something in the favor of God to get into heaven.
But if you're going to be saved, you've got to come down out of that tree. Get to the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. And praise God, Zacchaeus. And Savior stood at a grave one day. It was the grave of a friend. And as he was accompanied by Mary and Martha to Lazarus' grave, and they said, come see where they've left. The Savior came to the tomb for Lazarus. Put away. Dead. And Jesus says, take away the stone from the door. And Jesus spoke these words, Lazarus, come forth. Let me tell you, Jesus had said in that graveyard, come forth, then all the dead would have gone up. But Jesus came for Lazarus. Just as Jesus came for Zacchaeus, just as Jesus came for that man at the pool, amongst the multitude. Dear unsaved person, I have to tell you, he's calling you. He's calling you. Come. Here's the speaker. I say unto you. Here's the subject. Notice at the end of the verse. Pass from death unto life. You see, friend, that's the opposite to what is the natural thing. Because we pass from life to death. But that's not what Jesus does. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus finds man, he finds him in his sin. And in his sin, man is dead, spiritually dead, and trespasses in the sin. The sinner's dead to God, dead in trespasses and in sin. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because spiritually, he had a natural birth, but he was spiritually dead. And here you are in this meeting tonight. And you may have physical life, but spiritually speaking, if you're not saved, you're dead. Dead. But thank God the subject here is to pass from death. Thank God he wants to bring you from the state of spiritual death into life. Life. People say, I'm looking for life. Young people are crying out, oh, I want life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life God. Jesus didn't come to destroy your life. Jesus didn't come, let me tell you, to take your life. No, he says, I'm come that you might have life.
But you have some existence.
You're one of the richest men, the Old Testament. You had a king, his name was Solomon, son of David. And you read his son, read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll find that he built houses and there were gardens and he had possessions that no one else had, and lands, everything that was possible to have. Crave after. You know what he said? He said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. See that word vanity? It means emptiness. Emptiness of emptiness. All is just empty. Friend, without Christ, you might have physical life, but you're spiritually empty.
And that's why man has to crave after the pleasures of the world, trying to fill the vacancy, because they're empty. They're empty.
The world can't fill that void and satisfy them. And then someone said this, after you've got all of these things, you know what he said? Therefore, I hated life. I hated life. Where are so many young people committing suicide today? Because they can't take life anymore. And tragically, the devil says, be far better to end it. There's nothing to it anymore. The subject is passing from death to life. But then notice the sowing here. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. And that's so important. Why is it important to get people in to fill these seats? And this mission, I'll tell you, friend, because they need to hear the word.
He that heareth my word, says Jesus. Oh, that the people of Acharya would come, that they would hear words for blind that could see.
They need to hear his word. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says, take heed what you hear. Because the world has a lot of things to say to you. And there are things you're better not to hear. And there are things you're better not to listen to. Take heed what you hear. And then in Luke chapter 8 says, verse 18, take heed how you hear. Not only what you hear, but how you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I haven't time to go into it, but you know, the parable of the sower. And there were four grounds. Same seed, same sower, four soils. But you notice in the exposition that the Savior gives of all of that sowing, listen to me carefully. He said every one of them heard the same word. They heard the word. That the wayside heard the word.
Amongst the stony ground heard the word. The thorny ground heard the word. The good ground heard the word. They all heard it.
Didn't hear the same. How shall they hear? I'm going to preach it. How shall he preach? He said, be sent. I want to tell you that this week, in Acharya, that's why I have only one book. It's closed.
I don't want you to hear me, friend. But I want you to hear what God has to say. And the Bible says, he that heareth my word. But then notice the next step, very quickly. And believeth on him that sent me. In other words, you've got not only to hear the word, but you've got to take hold of the word and take God at his word and believe his word. Believe on him. Now notice it doesn't say believe in him. It says here, and believe on him. There's a difference. Because you see, people believing in something, that is a mental assent. That can be head knowledge. But what is it believing on? It means put your whole weight on. In other words, rest yourself completely on. And that's what God is saying. You need to rest yourself completely for your soul's salvation upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not upon the church, not upon the preacher, not upon sacraments, on Christ alone. Salvation in and through Christ Jesus alone. A total dependence, a total reliance upon the Lord. Nicodemus, knowing his need to be born again, was not enough. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus up that tree. Jesus says, come down. I want to go home with you. And the Lord changed Zacchaeus' life. Thank God he obeyed the command of God. The Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? Tell me, what have I got to do? They opened to him the scriptures and to his family and spake unto them the word of God. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, rest your soul upon what Jesus did. And I'm going to heaven tonight, listen, not because of anything I've done, but thank God as a boy of 8, I called upon the Lord to save me, and that night I rested my soul completely, entirely upon what Christ Jesus did for me when he took my place at Calvary and he died instead of me that I might have everlasting life. And that's what the word of God says. Look at verse 24 quickly. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath. Notice, not will have someday. Or not hopes to have someday. Listen, the moment you believe, hath everlasting life. Praise God, the moment you call upon the Lord to save you, he who is life eternal comes in. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then notice it says, and shall not come into condemnation. There's the solace. Thank God I'll never be in hell. Oh, I haven't heard it. But thank God I'll never be there. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in what? The church? No. To them who are in Christ Jesus. And that's all you need to know. Jesus reigns. Thank God he still does. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. And here's the surety, as a finish, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. Already, I have passed from spiritual death to life. John chapter 10, Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, and this is what he said. And I give unto my sheep eternal life. That's the giving. I give unto my sheep. And that night that that little boy cried on the Lord to save him, God, give me eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any flower out of my hand. I was preaching in Kelsen Common many years ago. Thank God that was a place where revival struck them. Thank God in that mission many precious souls did come to Christ. It's the last Sunday of the mission. The little orange hall was filled, packed with capacity, sitting outside around the door. After everyone had gone and had led souls to Christ on that last day, there's an old man sitting at the front. And I went over to him and I said, sir, are you waiting on something? He said, I want to talk to you. I said, how can I help you? He said, Mr. McCrae, I'm 92 years of age. He says, I remember going to a mission conducted by Dr. Paisley's father, old Pastor Paisley. I remember at the end of the meeting, there was an appeal made. The place was so full. And I raised my hand to indicate my desire to come to Christ. But the pastor didn't see me. You know what the devil told me that day? The devil told me God doesn't want you. He doesn't want you. He says, I've lived all these years, that's years ago, thinking that God didn't want me. He said, today, 92, he said, I would ask you, would God save an old man like me? And I opened God's word and I showed him God's way of salvation. And praise God, he says, I'm saved. I'm saved. Tell me, was it McCrae's assurance? No. It's God's word. It's God's promise. He can't break it, friend. I beg you tonight, don't go home unseen. But trust him. Trust Christ as your Savior. The one who died for sinners. Receive him. And as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray. As we head to God and as we close to me from this day, God knows your heart and God knows mine. God knows your standing before God, friend, whether you're saved or not saved. Whether you're going on with God or whether you're backsliding in heart, God knows all about you. Just as he saw that man in that multitude of people, he sees you. And he's speaking to you. And he's calling you. Will you be made whole? Do you want to be saved? Will you call upon him today? Friend, if you're desiring God's salvation, please don't leave this church without knowing. Get in the set. Be sure. Let us well your soul. Come and speak to me. Wait as others are going by. We'll open the Word of God and show you God's way of salvation. May God bless His Word. Heavenly Father, send us your blessing. Follow the ministry of thy word. Spirit of God, call, draw souls to the Savior. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.